The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Christ coming is literal. It's real. He'll really come. He really came once. He'll really come again. The coming of Jesus is the climax of human history.
This is Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. Today, the rumble of a crumbling world, part two. Enjoy, and remember, you can always catch up with past messages and stay up to date with Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark by going to hopelives365.com. And now, Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley.
One night, as I was preaching, I was talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ and how Jesus would call out the names. And as I was preaching, I wanted to make it real. And I said to the audience, suppose here is a mother that she has this little six-month-old baby. And one day, that baby dies. And she has to take that baby and bury it in the earth. And let's suppose she named that baby Amanda. I don't know why I used Amanda. I had never used that in my preaching before. And Amanda is not a real common name. But I said, suppose this mother had a baby, and suppose its name was Amanda. And suppose she got that little casket and she buried the baby. Suppose that one day she was kneeling, putting a flower on Amanda's grave. And one day the earth begins to shake and lightning flashes from the east to the west. And one day Jesus Christ comes and that little grave is open. And that baby is put back in Mama's arms again as Jesus comes to ascend to heaven. At the end of the meeting, a woman came up to me. She said, Pastor Mark, we've got to talk. I said, sure, let's sit down. She said, how did you know? I said, how did I know what? How did you know that I lost a baby at 6 months? And how did you know that I named the baby Amanda? I said, I didn't know. Nobody told me that at all. She said, Pastor Mark, here's my story. I lost my baby at 6 months. I named it Amanda. For 16 years, I have been going to a psychiatrist, because it was 16 years ago that my baby died. And I've been going to psychiatrists. I've been so traumatized, so upset about that. And I said, God, where were you? God, you don't love me. And I came into your meeting tonight, and I heard the hope of the coming of Jesus. And for the first time in my life, I can sense that I could hold my baby in my arms again. For the first time in my life, I'd look at my baby's face again. For the first time in my life, I could sense that I feel those little hands on my cheeks again. For the first time in my life, I now have hope. The second coming of Christ is hope. Because look, if Jesus Christ doesn't come, what's your future? If Jesus Christ doesn't come, what's your future? Is it going into the grave and letting maggots eat your body and letting your flesh rot? What kind of a future is that? The Bible gives us incredible hope. Incredible hope for our fathers and mothers that are getting older and dying. Incredible hope for our children that sometimes are snatched away from us. Incredible hope in the coming of our Lord. Christ's coming is going to be a literal event. It's going to be a visible event. It's going to be an audible event. Every eye will see it. Every ear will hear it. It's going to be a glorious event. The Bible says, Matthew 24, verse 27, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Lightning flashing through the heavens. What a glorious event. A real Christ is coming in the sky. This is not make-believe. It is real. It is reality. A real Christ is coming to resurrect the dead. This is reality. Many a time I have talked to Russian communist atheists. We've argued over philosophy. We've talked in Russia and in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe about philosophy. And I've said to them, all right, you're going to counsel a young man who's just lost his wife. He's 23 years old. His wife has been killed in a car accident. She was 22. Now, as an atheist, I want you to tell me what you're going to tell that young man. Are you going to say, too bad, I'm awfully sorry, but you lost your wife. Too bad, go look for another one. Is that what you're going to say? What are you going to say? You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to put my arms around him and say, I'm so sorry. I'll do anything I can to help you, but I've got good news for you. The good news is that Christ is coming again. And those that have loved him and served him, we never say goodbye for the last time. Death is not the end. It's a momentary sleep until the coming of Jesus, when that body is resurrected and we see our loved ones again. And that's incredibly good news, isn't it? It gives us hope. It gives us meaning. It gives us purpose. Christ's coming is literal. It's real. He'll really come. He really came once. He'll really come again. It's visible. Every eye will see him when he comes. It's audible. Every ear will hear him when he comes. It's glorious. And it is a climactic event. The coming of Jesus is the climax of human history. The Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 12, behold, Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. When Jesus Christ comes again, there are no second chances. When Jesus Christ comes again, there are no second opportunities. When Christ comes again, he comes to give out the reward. Men and women are saved or lost. When Christ comes again, they are either redeemed forever, eternally, or lost eternally. You see, God gives us the opportunity in this life to make a decision to follow him. I had a man say to me once, well, Pastor Mark, don't you believe that there's a second chance after we die? And I said, you know what? Christ doesn't need to give me a second chance because he gave me a million chances in this life. Every time I breathe in, it's another opportunity. It's another chance to serve him. When Jesus comes, there are two classes. Those that have committed their lives to him and those that have turned their backs on him. Those that have opened their hearts to his grace and those that have turned their backs on that grace. Those that have said, Jesus, you come and reign on the throne of my heart and you live in my life. And those that have had self on the throne of their heart. The Bible puts it this way, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Let's read it together. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's no accident that you came to these meetings. Of all the millions in Chicago, why did you get that brochure in the mail? Of all the millions here in this city, why was it that you heard that church announcement, that a friend invited you? Why was it that you came here? Because God knew that at this time in your life, that you were open and responsive to know his love, to respond to his grace, and to hear his truth. He knew that this was your divine moment of destiny. In every life, there's a divine moment of destiny. In every life, there are opportunities to come closer to him. You may be a Christian. You may be a church member. But God knew that you were to take another step closer to him. You are not here by accident. You are not here by chance. You are here because God brought you here at this moment, and he's appealing to your heart. He's speaking to you now to open your heart to him more fully than you ever have before. You say, but wait, Pastor Mark, I've always been a Christian. God has more truth for you. He wants to get you ready for the second coming of Christ at end time. He's brought you here to hear that truth, to prepare for his soon return. Our eternal destiny is being settled by the choices that we make today. As we make choices to follow him, as we make choices to respond to his love, as we make choices to respond to the promptings of his spirit, he speaks to our hearts, and as we make those choices to respond to his grace, we settle our eternal destiny. Christ is saying to this generation, I'm coming soon. Christ is saying to this generation, hope is on the way. Christ is saying to this generation, I long to bring you to that world where sorrow is a thing of the past, where heartache is a memory, where death is no more. Jesus says, look beyond your tears and your disappointment. Look beyond the mountains you have to climb in life. Look beyond the struggles that you go through. Look beyond the challenges. Let the gleams of the coming of Jesus shine on your face, and let your heart be filled with hope, and let it be filled with courage. What happens when Jesus comes? The Bible says there's seismic upheavals. Every mountain and island, Revelation 6, verse 14 and onward, moved out of its place. The Bible says when Jesus comes, lightning shines from the east even unto the west. What happens when Jesus comes? The righteous dead are resurrected. The righteous living are changed. The immortality is bestowed. That longing of the Egyptian culture and the Babylonian culture and the Peruvian culture and the Mexican culture and the Chinese culture, immortality is bestowed not by the building of pyramids, but by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wicked living are destroyed, the Bible says. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that in flaming vengeance he comes with fire on those that know not Christ or turn their back on the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 7 to 9. The Bible says the wicked living are destroyed. The righteous welcome Jesus and they ascend to heaven with him. You and I can be among that group that ascend to heaven with Jesus Christ. But somebody says, Pastor Mark, what about the secret rapture? I thought Jesus Christ was coming as a thief. Well, the Bible does talk about Jesus coming as a thief. Matthew 24, verse 36 says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So nobody knows the day or the hour. And you read some of these books and some of these time charts, and people say, oh, Christ is coming in 2012. Oh, he's coming in 2015. My Bible says nobody knows what? Day or the hour of his coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour or what time the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into.
We'll be right back with more from Pastor Mark Finley. We thank you for listening today and hope you're enjoying this message. Our mission is to present Christ-centered biblical truths of Scripture in a practical, relevant way so that you too can experience the abundant life that Christ offers and effectively share His life-changing truths with others. You can support this ministry and help us reach even more by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, back to Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark Finley.
Jesus is coming as a thief. But when the Bible talks about Christ coming as a thief, every time it's talking about the time of his coming, not the manner of his coming. In other words, Christ is coming so that every eye can see him. Christ is coming so that every ear can hear it. Christ is coming, lightning flashes from the east to the west. Christ is coming, the earth shakes. So there's nothing secret about it. But he's coming swiftly and quickly as a thief. He does not announce his coming. Now, how do those Chicago thieves work? Do the Chicago thieves go like this? I'm coming to rob your car. Get ready. Is that the way those Chicago thieves do it? You're walking down State Street with your purse over your shoulder, and a thief is behind you saying, in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to rob you. Get ready. Next 5 minutes, I'm going to rob you. Get ready. Is that what the thieves do in Chicago? Is that the way they work here in this city? Not at all. You see, when the Bible talks about Jesus coming as a thief, it talks about swiftness, quickness at a time we do not expect. Look, Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready. How can you be ready for the coming of Jesus? Get ready tonight and you'll be ready. If you get ready and stay ready, you'll always be ready when he comes. The Bible says, therefore, also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour or at a time you don't expect. So when the Bible talks about Jesus coming as a thief, it's talking about him coming swiftly and quickly at a time we do not expect. Life is going on as normal. People are going to work as normal. Certainly there has been a great time of tribulation. Certainly there has been times of trouble. But that day that he comes, life goes on fairly as normal. But Jesus burst through the sky. He comes as a thief in the sense that just like a thief doesn't tell you they're going to pick your pocket when you're walking in the crowd, so Jesus does not announce the day or hour of his coming. When Jesus comes as a thief, the world doesn't expect it. They're not waiting for it. They're not looking for it. But we are looking at the signs of the times. We are studying prophecy. And although we don't know the exact day or hour of his coming, we are anticipating his coming. Now, the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Some people say, oh, he's coming in a rapture like the thief. But wait a minute, my Bible says when he comes as a thief, the heavens pass away with a great noise. He comes quickly, swiftly, unexpectedly as a thief, and the heavens pass away. The elements melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. So when he comes as a thief, although he comes quickly and swiftly, this earth and the surface of the earth, you see great turmoil and great seismic upheavals, and the graves open and the righteous come out and they receive immortality, and the living receive immortality when he comes. So this is a great, glorious, climactic event. The second coming is a surprise to those that are unprepared. If Jesus came tonight, would you be ready for his coming? If Jesus came tonight, would you be ready? One night, Pastor HMS Richards Sr., the old man, was preaching. He was about 70 or so when he's preaching this sermon on the second coming of Christ, the signs of Christ coming. Pastor Richards, for many, many years, was the speaker on the International Voice of Prophecy radio program. Pastor Richard was speaking on the second coming of Christ. It was really close. Some guy stood up in the audience and said, Jesus is not coming soon. He may not come for another 100 years. The guy was pretty old, maybe in his 70s too. Richards looked at him and said, sir, put your hand on your heart. Thump, thump, thump. Judging from your age, sir, it won't be 100 years for you. If you die tonight, the next thing you see is the coming of Christ in glory. So in a sense, although Christ's coming in the clouds of heaven is soon, Christ's coming for you could be in a minute. Because if that artery clogs and your heart beats and you feel that stabbing pain and you fall over in a heart attack and you're dead, the next thing you will see is the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. That's the next thing. Is there anything in your life that would keep you from being ready for the coming of Jesus? Anything that's holding you back from being ready for Jesus coming? If there is, tonight, why not say, Jesus, I'm giving that thing to you. You know, some people, when they talk about the rapture, say, what about the expression, one taken and one the other left? Doesn't the Bible say some people are going to be left on earth and some taken away in the rapture? You know what the problem is? The Bible does say there'll be two in the field, one taken and one left. But some people read into the Bible what's not there. They say, oh, they're going to be left alive. Is that what the Bible says? Let's look at the passage. You know, wouldn't you rather read what the Bible says than when somebody says that the Bible says? You know, too many people are reading books about what the Bible says and getting their interpretation from other people rather than letting the Bible say what it says. I'd rather let the Bible say what it says than read something that somebody wrote about what they say the Bible says. Luke chapter 17, verse 36. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other left. Does the Bible say two will be in the field, one taken, will the other left? Yes. But does it say the one that's left is left alive on earth? No, it doesn't. That's an assumption. So what happens to the one that's left? Luke 17, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, were there two classes of people? Yes. Did one group go into the ark? Yes. Were one group left behind? Yes. What happened to the ones that left behind? They were destroyed by the flood. Look. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. In the days of Lot were the two groups of people. Yes. Did some come out of the city? They were saved. Did some stay in the city? Were they left behind? Yes. And what happened to them? They were burned up in the city. The Bible says, like it was in Lot's day, some stayed in the city, they were destroyed. Some came out of the city, they were saved. Two classes in Noah's day, one saved, one lost. One taken, one left, saved and lost. Those that are eternally secure with Christ, those that are eternally lost outside of Christ. You see, the Bible says when Jesus comes, there are two classes. One group is saved, one group is lost. The Bible is very clear. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to settle our destinies. There is no second opportunity. The time to get serious about our salvation is right now. The time to get serious about our salvation is at this moment. Christ's coming will be a literal event. Christ's coming will be a visible event. Christ's coming will be an audible event. Every ear will hear it. Every eye will see it. Christ's coming will be a glorious event, spectacular in the clouds of heaven. Christ's coming will be a climactic event. Christ's coming will be a joyous event, the greatest joy in the history of the universe. The Bible says in Titus 2, verse 13, let's read it together. You can't miss this text. Let's read it. Looking for, what are we doing, everybody? What are we doing? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for the blessed hope. There's hope on the way. Our hearts can thrill and be happy because Jesus is coming again. That son, that daughter that never made it home, killed in the car crash, you can see him again. That brother, that sister, that friend that you lost, you can see them again. That wife that you love so much, dead, you can see her again. Jesus Christ is coming again. Isaiah 25, verse 9. Behold, this is our God. One day he will come. One day the earth will shake. One day lightning will flash from the east to the west. One day our dead loved ones will be resurrected. One day with glorious immortal bodies, we'll be caught up to meet Christ in the sky. One day as Jesus comes, we will look up. We will see the lightning flash from the in the heavens. We'll see Jesus coming with 10,000 times 10,000 angels. And we'll say, behold, this is our God. We've waited for him. We've not given up our faith in tough times. We've waited for him. We've not given up our faith when the road has been long. We've waited for him. We've not given up our faith. We've waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. We'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation. They'll be singing that day. There'll be joy that day. There'll be hallelujah praises that day when we see him come in the clouds of heaven. There's nothing more important than being ready when Jesus Christ comes. Is there anything that would keep you from being ready for the coming of Jesus? There's only one thing that can satisfy today and forever, and that thing is Jesus Christ. You know, a number of years ago here in the city of Chicago, Dwight L. Moody was preaching. And as Moody was preaching, after the sermon, a mother in the audience wanted to introduce her 9-year-old boy to Dwight Moody. So Moody had just finished his sermon downtown there in Chicago, State Street. And this mother came up and she said she waited in line 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, she wanted her boy at least once in his life to shake the hand of the great preacher. So when it came the boy's turn, he put his hands behind his back like this. And mother was a little embarrassed. She said, son, shake the hands of the great preacher. Shake the hands of Dwight Moody. You may never get a chance again. And the boy went like this. And the mother was so embarrassed, he just stuck out his fist. And she said, but son, shake the hands of the great preacher. Son, why are you making a fist? And the boy did it again. And the mother said, now come on. And she took his hand, tried to open it. And the boy just squeezed his fist. He wouldn't open the hand. And finally, the mother got one finger open and two fingers open. And in the boy's hand, he had a couple little marbles, his favorite marbles. He thought that Moody was going to take his marbles. So he was holding on to them. Are you holding on to your marbles? Those things in your life that you do not want to give up fully to Jesus. Do you trust him fully? Would you say, Jesus, I'm just opening my hand and I'm opening my heart. All that I am, you come and take it. I just want to give myself to you. Lord, there's nothing more important than being ready for your coming.
You've been listening to Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. And tune in tomorrow for part one of The Roman Empire, the United States, and a Crumbling Society, part one. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and remind you that you can find more and our many ministry resources at hopelives365.com. And you can also support this ministry by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, a final thought and prayer from Pastor Mark Finley.
The Bible says, when all these things come to pass, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. We recognize that the problems of this world are too great for human beings to solve, but that Jesus Christ can solve them. There is hope and help on the way. Christ's coming will be a literal event. Secondly, Christ's coming will be a visible event. The Bible says, Revelation 1, verse 7, behold, he's coming with what? Clouds. And every eye will see him. The Bible says he's coming with clouds. How many eyes are going to see him, everybody? How many eyes? Every eye. The eyes of the young and the eyes of the old. Now, notice, it's not only the believers who'll see him when he comes. When Christ comes the second time, the Bible says he comes with clouds. And how many eyes see him come? Every eye sees him when he comes. Father in heaven, however much we want to be saved, you want us to be saved more. However much we long to see Jesus come, you want to come more. However much, Father, our heart aches for eternity, your heart aches for us more. And tonight, if we know our hearts at all, we want you to reign as the King of our hearts. We want you to rule on the throne of our hearts. We thank you for your grace, for your pardon, your mercy, and for your power to be new people. As we walk out these doors, may we know that our hand is in the hand of Jesus and that we're going to serve him forever. In Christ's name, amen.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.